Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Arizona is one of the fastest growing states in the country. As more people are moving here, more apartments are being built to house them. Yet the cost of living in Arizona has jumped significantly over the last several years. In 2021, Metro Phoenix made national headlines when rents skyrocketed by 30%, and it hasn't been easy on renters.
It started out with Avenue 5. Then the property complex turned to the Gray Star community called Aura Apartments. And I lived there for almost 5 years. And my rent when I first started there was $950. And it climbed all the way up to $1,500.
Linda Colofello is a former resident of a Gray Star apartment complex. She says that when Gray Star took over, they nickel and dimed her endlessly. And Linda is not alone. She is just one of tens of thousands of Valley residents affected by price fixing. And Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays is not having it.
I'm going to go after restitution. The Attorney General's office and my team are going to try to return money to renters who had to pay higher rent than they otherwise would have if we'd had a truly competitive market in Phoenix and Tucson. The other thing we want to do is, you know, get a court to say to them, if they don't voluntarily stop using this algorithm, we want a court to order them to stop using the algorithm. And we also are going to try to go after civil penalties on behalf of the state against them.
Welcome to The Gaggle, a politics podcast by the Arizona Republic and azcentral.com. I'm producer and host today, Amanda Luberto. This week, I'm joined by the Republic state politics reporter, Stacey Bartschenger, and the real estate issues reporter, Catherine Rager. They're going to be helping us understand why and how rents surged, what help there is for renters, and why Attorney General Mays is issuing a lawsuit. Stacey, Catherine, welcome back to The Gaggle.
Hey, good to see you again.
Great to be back. All right, Stacey, let's start with you and let's set the scene for everyone. AG Mays is suing 9 different landlords over these unfair rent spikes happening across the state. Who is on the lawsuit list?
So the Attorney General's primary target is this company called RealPage. It's a software company. We will talk more about that in this episode. But if you live in an apartment complex owned or managed by one of these following 9 companies, listen up. I'll just rattle through them. Most of them are not based in Arizona, for what it's worth, but they have a huge footprint here. The defendants in the lawsuit are Apartment Management Consultants, Avenue 5 Residential, BH Management Services, Camden Property Trust, Crow Holdings, Gray Star, as you mentioned, HSL Properties, and they're actually based in Tucson, RPM Living, and Widener Property Management.
And can you explain to our listeners how these companies are fixing the rent prices? Like, what does that mean?
Yeah, great question. So RealPage is this software company that is essentially a go-between these landlords. And think about how this used to work. If you were a landlord, you listed your apartments for sale on the internet at a certain rent price. Your goal was to fill them up. You don't want empty apartments. That meant you weren't making any money. Enter RealPage, which the Attorney General alleges is helping fix prices by working with these companies that used to compete with each other. So now you have an early and an inside advantage of knowing what your competitor will be charging for a similar apartment. Mays has said that that shifted sort of the focus from competition to fill apartments to being less worried about filling empty units, because you can levy these hundreds of dollars increases on existing tenants. And one of the ways that I have come to think about this is, you know, you're playing poker with your friends. You're gonna play differently if you know the hand that the person sitting to your right has been dealt.
It's a really interesting way to put it, and I'm really glad that you put it in a metaphor that's probably easier for people to understand than these more technological terms. But it's no mystery to anyone that inflation has been a factor in the U.S. economy over the last few years. Catherine, how much did people's rent go up by, and how much of it was due to inflation rather than malpractice?
Well, we had a big population boom, and it hit right when we had a housing shortage during the pandemic. People came here, they could work remote. You could at first get a lot more than you could in California for your apartment. And so that 30%, jaw-dropping 30%, that was the average. But I talked to people whose rent went up 50%, 60%. I talked to a family, a woman with four children in Scottsdale who was living there so she could be near her job. Hers went up $800 a month. Another woman with a daughter who had her own bedroom, a nurse, $500 a month. They had to downsize to a studio. It was bad. And inflation played into it, but we know that there are issues with what's going on behind the scenes and with what rent's driving up. Look at our record homeless right now and what's going on, and that is directly responsible because of those higher rents.
And inflation is happening everywhere in the country, and we happen to be one of the states that's having this terrible housing crisis, so it's, you know, maybe not as even-handed. Just to be transparent, I rent an apartment, so I definitely know that a part of the rent prices are these variety of fees that are on top of the rent. So my rent might be X, but what I really end up paying at the end of each month is Y. These are often called complex fees or something similar. It's a few cents here, a few dollars here, but it's not really clear to tenants what they're for. Did the Attorney General address any of these in her lawsuit?
So as far as I understand it, these are not addressed in Chris Mays's lawsuit. It's really going after this price-fixing scheme. And I should note, RealPage, they've been sued in other jurisdictions, in other states, and they have denied any wrongdoing. They didn't comment for our coverage on this, but just in fairness to them. I will say, though, for anyone that's really upset that they have to pay a rental tax, that, we believe, is on its way out. That doesn't have to do with the Attorney General's lawsuit, but Governor Hobbs last year signed a bill to phase out and eliminate the rental tax starting in 2025. That's supposed to be passed on to renters themselves. So, Amanda, you might be getting a break next year.
Also, housing advocates have been pushing for legislation that lays out exactly what a renter owes. This is what you have to pay if you're late. This is what you have to pay for this. And I know it's been introduced, but I'm not sure it's moving.
While the lawsuit is playing out and while we're sort of in the middle of it, is there anything that renters can do right now? Are there rental assistance programs they can do or somewhere where they can voice their issues and concerns?
Most of the federal renter aid money from the pandemic and stimulus has gone. But there are renter programs within cities and you can reach out. I know several of the bigger cities have those. The funding, though, isn't what it used to be. And Community Legal Services, which is a nonprofit legal aid, it has money from Maricopa County and the state of Arizona to help renters for free. They are very busy, and I understand that, but they are a good resource, and you can call or go on their website for that. Short of, unfortunately, hiring their own attorney, the landlord bill, you know, the tenant bill of rights, isn't enforced. You have to hire an attorney and do that, and when you're paying higher rents, that's not really easy. But I am hearing from housing advocates that this lawsuit was a really good step in the right direction. And when I talked to the AG's office, they said, even if you're not named in the lawsuit, contact us, file a complaint. And I've been encouraging renters to contact me. Just file a complaint because it could be expanded.
The renter we heard from at the top of the episode, Linda Colafello, wants some sort of financial acknowledgement.
I want them to return everybody's money that is owed to them because it's only right to give back the money to the people that it is owed to, and to go after the property owner management, the owners of the complexes, and let them know that they can't overcharge people for all these astronomical fees.
Is this something that we could see if Mays wins the lawsuit? Could tenants see money returned to them?
It's not really clear. I asked that, and she said she's looked for civil penalties, and many renters are asking me that because they need that help. And they're hoping to get it fast to try to stay in their apartment. And several have said, I could be homeless next week because I can't pay this. But it has not been clear.
Yeah, Mays has said that if she does win the lawsuit and then win civil penalties, which a judge would have to order, she would like to see that go to tenants to make them whole. We're talking years down the line, a couple of ifs there, just in transparency. She's also asked the court to issue an injunction to stop this alleged price fixing now and appoint a monitor to ensure that any dealings between the RealPage and the landlords and any court orders are carried out as they should be.
So our listeners may have heard Stacy list their apartment complex owner's name at the beginning, or they are suspicious that their landlord is overcharging them for rent. They can still alert someone. And how do they go about doing that?
The AG's office, and they have said alert us even if they're not on the list, has a complaint form on their website to do that. And they said they'll be following up. Several renters without landlords on the list have done that already and have been contacted. So that is something. And there are housing nonprofits that if you work with, you can be alerted. And there's a list at azeviction.org of how to get help if you're facing that. So there's help out there.
The Attorney General's website, if you want to file a complaint, is azag.gov/complaints.
Are there any complaints so far, or have you heard murmurs of these sort of smaller person-to-person landlords? Do those exist in the greater Phoenix and Tucson area, or is it mostly these companies that take over?
We have a lot of smaller landlords still, but during the pandemic and the boom, and when rents went up, we had a lot of big corporate landlords come to town. And I can tell you that the apartment complexes with the most evictions and some of the biggest rent hikes were bought by out-of-state landlords. And that is an issue housing advocates bring up. And there's even been talk of having legislation to limit that kind of. I don't know how that can happen because that's free market and capitalism. But you talk to people who they don't know who to go to or who to complain to or who to ask for help. But I do hear from the Multifamily Association, the smaller landlords have fewer evictions and, you know, own their properties outright, and they're more moderate, and they like having those tenants in there for long term.
Last question for you guys. My very basic understanding of economics tells me that what goes up must come down. Is there a chance that we could see rent prices decrease because they were spiked up so high?
Rent prices have dropped about 5% from last year. What it goes hand in hand with is we are seeing more apartments being built, and we need those, but not as many. When they look at our deficit, they're saying it could take 10 years to get. And that's based on not growing a lot. And we know we continue to grow 70, 80,000 people a year in Metro Phoenix. So that's an issue. And already I'm hearing apartment analysts say we may see rents climb again later this year.
You know, I'm actually also a renter, and I just went through this process where I was able to negotiate down on my rent a little bit, saving me about $75 a month. Catherine, how common is it that people can negotiate and save themselves some money?
Definitely more common now than 2 years ago when the rents, you know, were just flying up. And, you know, consumer advocates say, yes, negotiate, ask to get rid of fees, ask for slightly lower, you know, offset. And we are hearing more happening and people are getting a free month rent and things like that. So that shows some stabilization. Now, if rents start to climb again and population grows and we don't get the apartments, then it could go away. But this could be the time.
Is this happening in Tucson as well? I know that the lawsuit is happening statewide.
In Tucson, the market is a little different. They have growth, but not quite, you know, not as much as we do. And their rents started lower. So it's a little more moderate, but they are having the issues and the eviction issues too.
All right. Well, thank you both for joining us on The Gaggle to discuss this. Listeners can always find your work and stay up to date on this ever-changing story on azcentral.com. But if they would like to follow you on social media, where can they find you?
I'm at S. Barchinger. It's S-B-A-R-C-H-E-N-G-E-R.
I'm at Catherine Reger, C-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E-R-E-A-G-O-R.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
That is it for this week, Gaggle listeners. Do you have questions about today's episode or topics you'd like to see us cover on the show in the future? Let us know. Send us a message at 602-444-0804 or leave us a voice memo to thegaggle@arizonarepublic.com. That is all one word, all spelled out. This episode was written by me, Amanda Luberto, with research and scripting assistance by Kaylee Monahan. Katrina Michalak edited and produced today's episode. Our news direction is by Kathy Tulamello, and episode oversight by Kara Edgerson. Music comes from Universal Production Music. Never miss an episode of The Gaggle by subscribing to us wherever you listen. If you learned something new today, be sure to share this episode with a friend. You can also leave us a review and rate us 5 stars. You can follow The Gaggle on social media at AZC Podcasts. I'm at Amanda Luberto. That's Luberto. The Gaggle is an Arizona Republic and azcentral.com production. Thank you again for listening. We'll see you next week.